Hi, I'm Manikyam Bhavanla. I'm a senior software engineer on PowerShell team. Basically, I started using PowerShell in 2010. The first time I used PowerShell for automating WSS scenarios in 2011. So basically, in PowerShell, I have added a couple of good features like PowerShell Get and also majorly I worked on PowerShell Gallery. I like the PowerShell Get module as it impacts entire PowerShell community. And I like being part of PowerShell community team. I like working with the PowerShell community.
Welcome back, folks, to the PowerShell 10th anniversary celebration, and we really want to thank you for joining us. The next session that we've set up are a couple of the people that I work with all day, or actually frequently, and Joey Aiello is one of my fellow program managers in the PowerShell team. Jason Shirk is a principal software engineer also on the PowerShell team. What they're really going to talk about is what it takes to manage a GitHub repo, or specifically the PowerShell GitHub repo where we have open sourced PowerShell these days. So, Jason, Joey.
Hi guys, how you doing? I'm Joey.
And I'm Jason.
And we're going to be talking to you today about the PowerShell committee and repository maintainers, who we are, what it is that we do, and what it's like to be managing this PowerShell repository day in, day out. So I think Jason's going to take it away.
All right. So we're going to talk about a couple different things. We're going to talk about maintainers, and we're going to talk about the committee. So first thing off, we start off in the PowerShell repo, and I'm going to go to the docs directory, and we're going to go into the governance
community
folder.
So this is, again, github.com/PowerShell/PowerShell. For many of you know, we've open sourced all of PowerShell. We're building PowerShell now for Windows, Mac, and Linux. And this is where all of our day in, day out development's going on. So.
Yeah, so this governance document describes a bit of what we're talking about here. So the PowerShell committee, first thing up here. So we'll just go down here and take a look at the committee. So the committee has, right now, 5 members. Bruce Payette, me, Steve Lee, Hemant, and Joey, standing right here. And you can see that we talk about things like PowerShell RFCs. So the committee is talking about more high-level design sorts of issues, where the maintainers are worried more about the code.
Yeah, so we're essentially responsible for determining, whether something's a breaking change or not, whether we're going to accept that breaking change. You know, when someone comes along with a new feature proposal, whether it's internal to Microsoft or it's one of you submitting one of these review for comment documents that we'll go over a bit later, we're the ones responsible for voting on that thing, deciding essentially whether or not we're going to take it into PowerShell. So
exactly. Yeah, so breaking changes are really, really important for us to talk about, but also it's just like high-level design sorts of issues. Like, do we want to add this commandlet? We want to take something as a new module. Is it something that really belongs in the core of PowerShell, or does it kind of go outside of like something that you would just add on to PowerShell?
Right. For instance, just last week we were talking about an RFC for globbing. How we're going to handle wildcards in a cross-platform way between Windows and Linux. And so there's a multitude of design challenges that come along with that. And so we're the governing body is responsible for making those sorts of tough design calls.
Yes. Yep. So should we jump over to the RFC repo?
Yeah. So let's give you guys an idea of what those look like. And again, all of you, all of these review for comment documents, they're very specifically called a review for comment doc, so that you are able to review it and comment on it. Right. The idea here is we're getting your feedback in real time on these designs and taking all of that into account as we make our decisions. So definitely come by and check out this repository after our talk to see what it is that we're discussing day in, day out.
Yeah, so we have a different repo than where the code, all the documents are in a separate repo. And we have just pick one that was written quite a while ago, generalized splatting, so motivation, a spec, some examples, some alternates, whatever. So the committee will go ahead and review this before accepting it. And we also have people will comment on them. So you can go to the issues and, you know, just pick out this one, and you'll see a whole bunch of people have commented on this, and the committee will go ahead and review the comments, take that into consideration, maybe ask the author of the RFC to make some changes to the RFC, or we'll just, you know, reject it if it's not appropriate, or we'll accept it.
And as Jason alluded to, you know, these are RFCs that are written both by members of the PowerShell team and also members of the community. So we've gotten a few now that are, you know, some of you folks who have said, you know, it'd be lovely to have this feature in PowerShell. Here's what I think a good design might look like. And then, you know, if we decide that it's important enough, we could potentially implement that design after we've accepted that RFC. Or it could be one of you that actually decides to take that accepted RFC and go implement the code to make it happen. So,
yeah, one of the questions we've had asked a lot is, you know, I want to see a change in PowerShell. So, like, if I write an RFC, does that mean I have to implement the feature? And the answer is no, absolutely not. I mean, we really want to get people contributing to the design of PowerShell, but we don't expect everybody to be able to implement all of their ideas. So, PowerShell team can take a great idea that's been refined by the community and go ahead and implement it if that's what it, or it could be maybe, you know, somebody in the community implements the idea, but it's not the person who wrote the RFC. So the RFC process is really just about kind of getting to a good design that we're happy with.
Yeah, so yeah, you don't have to have the technical development skills to contribute to the design of PowerShell today, and so definitely come check out the RFC process and talk to us. Yeah, and just to give you a frame of reference, we meet roughly once a week and talk internally. We're starting to get a little bit better, I think, about making our discussions public record. If you go to many of the issues that we discuss, some of which are tagged, review committee on the PowerShell repository, we're doing a better job of posting back to those.
Yep.
But we have been asked, you know, hey, can you open up your meetings? Maybe you can, you know, publish all up meeting notes every time you guys meet. And those are two things that we're definitely looking into doing. You know, we'd like to have a more public and engaged presence from the community. So, you know, definitely let us know. And hopefully, we've got the Twitter feed coming in here. If you guys have any other questions about how it is that we run the committee, definitely, reach out to us now. So going back, I think we want to check out the PowerShell repository again. So we've also got this concept of a repository maintainer. And I think we can link. We just click that guy.
And repository maintainer. So
we can even go to here.
Ah, there we go. So maintainers are responsible for the code. And right now we have 6 maintainers. So for any code change to go into PowerShell, one of these 6 people has to merge it into master. Nobody else is allowed to merge into master. So one of these 6 people is responsible for the final acceptance of some code.
And for those of you that aren't Git experts, master is essentially the branch of our code that represents the current state of PowerShell. So it's the golden.
It's what we release. Anything that's not in master is not going out in a release. It's pretty much that simple. Once it goes into master, it will, right now we're releasing roughly twice a month. So when it's in master, we'll have a release out within, a couple weeks.
So does that mean that these 6 people are doing all the code reviews for everything coming into PowerShell?
No, that'd be crazy if, we had to review everything. We do, sometimes look at things, everything in detail, but oftentimes we'll pass on the responsibilities of reviewing something to somebody who's an expert in that area.
But you are making sure that they do that review before you merge. And,
exactly.
And
so,
that, tests are getting written for things, and we're not, releasing untested code out into the wild or anything
like
that.
Yeah, so the maintainers are really mostly responsible for making sure all of the things that need to be done are done correctly. Not necessarily that the code is correct for whatever, just to pick an example, none of the committee members are experts in remoting. So, if we want to accept a change related to remoting, I'm going to ask the expert in remoting to do the review. And then after he signs off on it, then, the committee will go through and say, oh, yeah, there aren't any tests or, something like that. And we'll just make sure we, dot the I's and cross the T's, make sure everything is good.
Awesome. So maybe we can jump in and take a look at what issue triage looks like here. So
yeah, sure.
you know, as we've been talking about, you guys are more than welcome now to essentially hop into our GitHub repository and, you know, post any bugs or feature requests that you might have as GitHub issues. And so, you know, what does it look like? We've been saying it's sort of a day in the life of a committee member or a maintainer, of which Jason is both, of course. But, you know, so what are we doing when you guys submit this feedback, and how are we triaging that and deciding whether to take action on it or not?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I guess we can, you know, triage something right now. How about that?
Right. Yeah, let's do it. So this got posted just yesterday.
Okay, so this is the most recent issue that has not been triaged. And so the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to go look through here and kind of, you know, decide what kind of issue is this. So we want to label the issue, whether it's based on like the area. You know, what kind of, is it part of, oh, let's just bring up the labels here. And we have a whole bunch of areas. Is it related to the build, a commandlet, a console? So these areas are pretty broad, and we'll want to assign the areas. And this one looks like maybe engine.
Calls. Yeah, it's something to do. It looks like something to do with module loading here.
So we'll label it engine.
So this is sort of a rough first pass from us, and this is something that members of the committee and the repository maintainers both do, and it's essentially to you know, pare this down so that someone who is an expert with the engine, probably yep. still you, yep. Is going to look at this at a later time and make sure that, you know, basically determine whether or not this is a legitimate bug, whether this is a feature request, and then, you know, whether or not it's egregious enough for us to take action on it immediately, or to you know, throw it into our backlog, which we define as this up for grabs label. We actually yep. just changed this now. If you want to.
Yeah, so we would go through and say, I'm not going to make a decision on this one just at this moment, but we would go decide, is this a bug? Is this a question? Are they looking for a new feature? And so this is how we're going to kind of like classify it. And so the triage may or may not classify it. It may move on to, you know, the area expert on the engine or commandlets to do that classification. If we're going to throw it on the backlog, we're going to go throw the up for grabs label on there.
Which means that essentially anybody out there in the community can implement this thing. You know, we're not looking at doing it right this second. We may choose to do it sometime in the future, but no one from our team is actively working on it, and any of you are free to, you know, to fix those problems.
Yeah, let's go see how many are for. Oh, I can just.
Yeah, so we look at the up for grabs label here. We've got
130 open issues up for grabs.
So some of these are very complex. Some of these are really simple, and actually are a great segue for you to learn. You know, how to do some C# development if you're maybe not an expert. I know I'm actually now going through many of these to hone my coding skills a little bit as a PM, get a little more technical.
This wouldn't be a good one for you.
Yeah.
I think this would be pretty easy. Yeah.
This is probably a one-line change somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it's not too many lines of code, but it's a pretty simple change. This is an example of something where, you know, it's a great idea, I think. You know, I mean, this one's going to need some resource changes because localized error messages. But, you know, it's kind of a good sort of example of just kind of getting started in PowerShell to be able to add some value. And then after we add these attributes, we'd have to go through our existing code base and start using it.
Right.
You know. But, you know, just adding this would be actually a pretty simple thing that I think somebody might
I dove right in here to the body here. But, yeah, so basically you're looking at adding an attribute so that a parameter basically ensure the parameter is either positive or non-negative.
Yep.
And
then get a good error message is the point of adding this one.
Yeah. So that's
whereas right now it's going to tell you the error the number is not in the range of 1 and max int, which, you know, nobody, they're going to look at that like, what? What in the world's that about? Like, isn't that like every integer? Well, except for the negative ones.
Yeah, so look, this is a great way to cut your teeth on writing C# code. We won't bite your heads off, you know, if your code isn't perfect right from the get-go. I promise, you know, Jason's a really nice guy, and, you know, he'll give you some tips on improving your code potentially, maybe how to write some tests for it to make sure that, you know, your code isn't going to break or regress going forward.
Yeah, no, we really want to encourage people to contribute, and so, I mean, I have a very high standard, and I'm, you know, I'm going to provide feedback where feedback's important. You know, we want to keep the quality of the product high, but but I also want to help people, right? I want to help them contribute to us. So I want to help anybody who wants to contribute give us the sort of quality that we're expecting, and I try to do that in the nicest possible way.
Awesome. So what happens? So I've written some code on my local machine.
Yep.
I've written some tests. I think it works for the most part. What do I do now?
Well, it's time to go create a pull request. I'm going to go over to my fork, and so I've already created some pull requests. But I've got some branches here. I'm going to go create a branch in my own fork.
And for those of you that don't know, a pull request is essentially a request for the official project to take in the changes that you've made in your personal fork. And Jason's showing his his personal fork here and how he requests that those changes be accepted.
Exactly. So I went over, just before we started this talk, I created this pull request to fix some tests that were failing in our CI system, our continuous integration system, and for our, well, not in our CI, they were failing in our nightly runs. We don't run all of our tests in CI because that's actually kind of slow. We have some tests that take longer. So we accepted a PR that broke some of our nightly tests, and so I went ahead and fixed that right before this talk. And I created a pull request. So go over to the pull request, and you can see the changes. So as the maintainer, I could go ahead and just, am I on the pull?
I think you can view it right here.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. There.
Oh, just missed it.
So I go over to the pull request here, and we see some things that you don't normally see about Sergey closing and reopening it. Sometimes we have to do that if our CI system is, if we have something that caused failures in our CI, the easiest way to rerun everything is like you close the issue and reopen, close the PR.
Retrigger that automatic check.
So one of the first things as a maintainer that I'm going to do is I'm going to go look here and see all checks have passed. If I don't see that, I'm probably not going to look at anything. I'm going to assume that there is something wrong with your changes and that you're going to fix them. Now, I may go in and actually show all checks. I may go look in the details here and look at the failure and say, you know what, this really is you, or maybe it's something on our side. So I may do that much just to figure out what's going on with the failure. And if it's your problem, I might say, you know what, your changes did cause a regression and cause one of our tests to fail, or maybe it's one of your new tests that you've written and it's failing maybe on Linux instead of Windows, so maybe you only test it on Windows. And I'll say, we won't review the change until you fix the tests and get everything to pass. So then once everything is passing, I'm going to go ahead and take a look at the changes. And so in this case, I'm going to go review these changes, and they're pretty straightforward. I'm going to go start review changes. I'm going to go put in my comments. And since these are my own changes, I'm not going to provide any feedback on my own changes because they're perfect, let me tell you.
But at this point, you may also bring someone in if this was a really large change set, mm-hmm. and maybe you weren't familiar with this area of the code. You might at mention someone here and bring them in and say, hey, until Jim Truer reviews these changes, I'm going to wait to merge them.
Yep. So the maintainers will go through and typically assign something. So we'll look over here on the.
It's assigned column right here.
The assigned column here, and we see some of them are assigned, and that person is the maintainer responsible for merging it into master and driving it to get other people to do the review or whatever. And sometimes a non-maintainer will be assigned, and then they're the ones that are assigned to review it. And once they've signed off on it, then we'll go ahead and maintainer will merge it. So for example, this one here, Francisco is the one assigned, so we can see that he's reviewing the changes, and he asked for more tests to be added and do some formatting changes and whatever. But anyway, so we're waiting for Francisco to sign off on this particular one before we merge it.
And I'd like to point out one thing. If you guys notice, there's this label we use here as well, review needed or review waiting on author, and this is actually what we use to essentially say, hey. For review needed, someone from our side really needs to review this thing and give their feedback before we're going to move forward on it. Review waiting on author means we've essentially reached out and said, hey, you know, there's something you guys have to do to, you know, fix your changes, or there's some change that needs to be addressed on your end as the pull request author before we merge this. So for those, we're waiting for an external action before we move forward on it. So yep. If you've got a pull request submitted and it's waiting on author, you know, you should go check out the comments there and see what it is that you need to do.
Oh, there's one other good detail here to bring up, the CLA required, that red label.
This one right here.
So if you're an external contributor and you have not signed the contributor license agreement, then we won't actually even look at the changes at all.
In this one, it's really easy. You know, a bot will reply to your pull request and say, hey, you know, I'm your friendly neighborhood CLA bot or something. And you click a link and basically just say, all the code I'm submitting, I own. I'm allowed to give this code to you, and I'm, you know, okay submitting it under the MIT license that we use for PowerShell. So
yeah, we have the CLA requirement for the RFCs as well.
Yes, because you are submitting your designs, you know, to us. So
exactly.
Yep.
So
now I'm looking to the chat here. Do we have any questions about the repository at all? Keith, see anything?
So at this point, we don't have any questions that have come up specific to our GitHub repository. There was one question that kind of came out of left field that I thought I might ask Jason in case he happens to know. Is the default output of format custom based on a variation of JSON?
That's an interesting question. Format custom has been around for as long as PowerShell's been around, you know, V1. So, I mean, it's more than 10 years old, I would guess. And I don't actually know when JSON was really formalized. I don't know. I mean, I think they're kind of, it's kind of a obvious way to represent objects with the nesting and whatnot. So, I don't know. I can't say for sure.
I would say you're probably free to submit that question, you know, into the PowerShell repository. We'd probably tag that as an issue question, and you know, if there's, especially if you've got some context around, you know, why it is you're asking that, and you know, if you want something to get changed or enhanced in some way, maybe we expose some sort of JSON formatter.
Format-custom-JSON.
Yeah. So that could be an enhancement that we talk about. So yeah. That sort of stuff, you know, and it really is it's a wide open field on the repository. You know, we're obviously not giving tech support there. You know, if you've got a script that you're running into problems with and it's likely, you know, your own script that's causing them, well, we're not looking for those sorts of questions. But in general, anything around the design or intent of PowerShell, you know, feel free to submit those questions.
And sometimes it might feel like a tech support sort of thing, but you're just not quite sure. You're like, you know, it could be a bug, or you're not sure if it's you. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, we're totally fine if it turns out it really kind of is tech support, but it was. Sometimes that tells us that there's somewhere that we have to improve too.
Yeah, that there's something that's unclear about PowerShell. That's, you know, if you don't know that something's a bug or not, well, maybe we're, you know, being a little bit opaque somewhere. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, but this really is, I mean, I think the coolest thing about having this open source repository is that this is where you guys live and work.
Indeed.
And you know, this isn't a matter of we need to go check in on something. And actually, yeah, this is, say, day
this
in life.
This is my life. You know, I'm sitting here in notifications. Let's refresh that and see, you know. Now I have a few more things I've got to go look at. And you can see there, I don't
just
look.
Just minutes ago.
Yeah, 2 minutes ago. Back ticks, I don't even know what that's about. I'm going to go take a look at that. But, you know, it's also, I can't, oh, those are docs, so I keep up on that too. So, yeah, we spend a lot of time looking at the notifications, and obviously I can't read every single comment. If I did that, I wouldn't, I mean, I still have to write some code sometime, you know? I mean, yeah.
But anyway. You know, yeah, this is where we live and breathe. You know, these are the where we wake up basically and look at these notifications that are coming in from you guys you know, basically, yeah, we're having a blast here on GitHub. So I'm really glad you guys could join us today. Again, I'm Joey, program manager for PowerShell.
And I'm Jason Shirk, and software engineer.
And we're gonna throw it back over to Keith and Matt. Thanks, guys.
Thank you guys very much. That's actually very good. And one of the things that people have begun to realize is
the direction that we're moving with PowerShell is we're going to do our development in GitHub. So all of the work that you're doing to make sure that the contributions that people are making actually align with the direction and the plans for PowerShell are critically important. So I think we're going to take another short break. This one's not going to be very long. And when we come back, we're going to see one of the more entertaining things that you can do with PowerShell. John Newman is going to talk about how he can use PowerShell to work with his Tesla.
His Tesla, not everybody.
Just his.
Right.
So we'll see you all in a minute.